Hey there, folks. Tavin Allen here, host of Comedy Above the Pub. This is season 2, episode 21. And wow, what a guest. They're all good, folks, but this is our first politician, former mayor of Toronto, David Miller, slides by. We cover some of the things that he did while he was in power, what he's doing now. There's a little bit of soccer nerdery, footy, if you will. So suck it. That's the way that's going to go. Great episode. So happy to have him here. You know what else makes me happy? Audible.com. They're giving you, the listener, a free listen book. That's right. All you got to do is go to our website, comedyabovethepub.com, click on Get a Free Book, and you download their service for a 14-day free trial, and you get a free listen book. Books jacked into your ear holes. That is right, folks. It sounds nasty, but it's better than it sounds. So yes, audible.com, go get a free listen book. The other things that I wanted to let you know of, June 28th, not a show I'm on, but definitely one I want to promote, the Bloor Horsemen are performing, and what they are is the team of Steve Schultz, Nick Beaton, and Nathan McIntosh. They're all going to various places across the globe. They're leaving Toronto to pursue their comedy careers in different locales, LA, New York, and Great Britain. And yeah, this is going to be like a farewell show for them. So make sure you go down to the Rivoli. That is Tuesday, June 28th. Make sure you make that happen. As well, here's something I am trying to do, and I want you guys to get on board with it. I have created a group on Facebook called Team Hot Sandwich. And what we want to do is bring Jimmy Pardo to Toronto. So if you are in Toronto or are willing to travel here, enjoy Jimmy Pardo, the host of Never Not Funny. Go to that group and say that you like it. We're tracking people who are going to be dedicated to coming to see Jimmy Pardo when he gets here in Toronto, if we get the numbers. So make sure you do that. Go to Team Hot Sandwich. I am one of 300 people bringing Jimmy Pardo to Toronto, and click on like and make sure that you are able to go. It is that easy. Okay. Sorry about the length of this, but yeah, here's some dates as this drops all the way through Sunday, June 26th. I'll be hosting at Absolute Comedy, and then the next week I will be co-headlining with the lovely and talented Kerry Gates at the same venue. That is Absolute Comedy, Young and Egg in Toronto. Okay, this is it. I'm done. Thank you for listening. Don't forget audible.com. Go to them. Bring Jimmy Pardo to Toronto, and here's a little bit of David Miller for you. El Mayoral. This is comedy
above the pub.
This is Joanna Denning.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Nasa Gay.
Kevin Brock.
This is John Wing.
Tracy Hoyt.
Adam Groh.
This is Jason Patterson.
It's Peter Anthony. You're listening to Comedy Above the Pub.
I just blew your mind.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to Comedy Above the Pub, or welcome back. If you survived the previous episodes, we're coming in, and first of all, we got Ian.
Hi, everybody.
And it's good to have you here, and I gotta say, folks, I'm pretty happy about this. We're classing it up this week, possibly the most esteemed, can we say?
I'd say easily.
Yeah?
I mean, Craig Brown's a great guy.
A popular choice, this guy.
Yeah.
Certainly missed in a lot of circles. I would say, certainly this one, ladies and gentlemen, former mayor of Toronto, Mr. Mayor Miller.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Good day.
See, this is the thing. Such esteem. I choked on calling you David. Like, I don't feel like I can do that.
It's quite okay. That's my name.
I feel really awkward. Cause here's the other thing. I didn't realize how damn tall you are either. You're an imposing presence.
Well, it's cause people see me on TV, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm about the size of this microphone,
yes.
Unless you have a really big screen.
Mm-hmm. We don't here at Comedy Above the Pub Towers. And it really just hit me as you were walking up the stairs to our place, because we can sort of see you through the glass door.
You mean after I hit my head on
the
ceiling?
After you hit your head on the ceiling. And as he was walking, I'm going, here he comes. He's still going. Like, there is height here. No wonder you got crap done when you're in charge of the city. That's fantastic.
You know, in all seriousness, it actually helps.
I bet.
Like, if you're bigger than people and you really need something done, and mm-hmm. they don't want to, and you have the heft of the office of the mayor,
yep.
And you have the heft of your size,
mm-hmm.
and you glare at them.
Yep.
Yeah, it happens.
I can see
I just
that.
Revealed my secret.
Yeah. Yes.
This lizard brain kicks in, and it's like, oh, this he's going to hit me with a club.
And you know, you haven't got the gig anymore. What are you worried about?
Well, yeah, no, but you got to keep some secrets, mm-hmm. right? That's. I mean, suppose there's a next time.
Yes, the current mayor has gone the other way in terms of the way of intimidation. Let's just say
I will give that a wide berth.
Yeah. This is
possible. That comment I made, not that person.
That was possibly the best and worst pun we have ever had on this show ever.
So, Todd, how did this happen?
I'm new at this.
How did this happen? Really, I just, I've been sitting there for a while trying to get you on this show. Cause you definitely, you're, like, as we record in this city, we tend to support like a lot of the local acts and we bring in people. And I just thought, you know, we aren't always about comics on this show. We're about guys who tell a good yarn. And just watching your speeches and stuff like that, I said, I bet you this guy can cover it. I bet you he can more than meet the brief here. You smile. You're
well,
a nice
we'll
fella.
See if I can meet the test. But, you know, it all came about through Twitter, right?
It did.
As he waves his BlackBerry around in his right hand, never far from him.
You'll see it in the show notes, people. We'll get a picture.
So, and this, again, we had way back when. I was talking with people. We were kind of letting people know that, oh, we got the mayor coming on. And they're like, well, how did this happen? And I don't know if you remember this. You and I had a bit of a set to on Twitter.
Yeah, I forgot what it was about.
Okay. Because I had to do some research myself. And if you Google it, it pops up. You put our two Twitter handles in there. Bang. There it is.
I'm worried too, people.
Yeah. It was about the TTC. Because what had happened historically was
I know where this is going.
Yeah, the rates had gone up 25 cents at that point,
and Todd was outraged.
I didn't shake my fist at that. That was fine. It's like, hey, you know what? It's a service. It's a public service. It's gonna, you know, you got to get some maintenance in there. Of course, it's gonna you gotta raise the tariffs at some point. Not a, what 2 days later, the sleeping guy picture shows up.
That was
It was
that
unfortunate.
Was a bad moment.
It was unfortunate, right? So cheeky me posts it to you and say, "Well, here's your extra 25 cents at work." Ha 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 ha.
I'm sorry for everything cheeky that Todd is.
It was a little cheeky. And you and I have a back and forth, but it's an awkward back and forth because I'm following you. You can direct message me, and no one else knows it. You weren't following me at that time, so I have to reply.
Well, why would I want
public.
To be following you?
Of course not. Well, you are now. I guess now
I
you're
am
out
now,
of office.
Yes,
that's
true.
Like you really let your standards slip, and that's more than valid.
Don't
He's
tell
just
people.
Tired of but, your bombardment.
Well, here's the thing I liked about, and this is how I knew you were a class act. You emailed me, or you direct messaged me again, and said, thank you for being civil about this. You know, in my replies. And I went, I'm a jackass. I'm not, you know, stupid. You know, I'm just being, you know.
Can't you be both, Todd?
Crack and wise. Some people but are, not this guy.
The sad thing about that incident was the guy was actually sick.
Yes.
And at the time, I remember the head of the union saying, well, he might have been sick. And it sounded like, you know, oh, you know, he's just defending the guy.
Right.
He should have actually stood up and said, and I guess you can't because of privacy, but he should have said he had this illness. He shouldn't have been at work and he came into work anyway.
Right.
Which would have, maybe some people wouldn't have bought it, but it happened to be the truth and it should have been part of the story.
For sure.
Instead of this guy being paid, you know, a reasonable wage, isn't doing his job.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns out, like, not that long after that, like, in a matter of months, he actually, in fact, passed away.
Yeah, he died.
So everyone out there, myself included, was like, ah, that's a bit of a jerk move on my part.
I'm going to go find those. I'm going to Google this now.
Oh, I'll put it in the show notes.
Now, if you're going to Google something like RX tweets, you have to do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? That's not something you do during a rational work day.
No, exactly.
Okay, next time I'm up at 4, I will Google
there you
our
go.
Tweets.
I will text some people. And here's the thing, too. As we had a couple of Tweet the Guest questions that came in. And one was to the point of, do you remember having another little tweet back and forth? This is the thing I like about you. You really engage the electorate through the personal means. Like, it's not, you get the strong sense from you, and it's very clear that this account is not just like a public service account that people are going out there and going, oh, I'm going to have my assistant do this because I know Barack Obama's following me because he likes the poop jokes. Let's not kid ourselves. But I'm pretty sure that these are not getting into the White House like directly on his iPhone, right?
No, it's me.
But that's you. Yep. That's you. Now, what made that decision happen? Because you were, I think, one of the first politicians that engaged Twitter as a media.
Yeah, well, a bunch of things. First of all, when Twitter was in its early stages and was, you know, starting to catch on, one of my staff said, I think you should take a look at this. Secondly, I fought against having a BlackBerry for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then I got caught at a meeting of mayors in Ottawa, was about to give a press conference, and all the questions were always for the mayor of Toronto, mm-hmm. right? That's just how it works. And something happened in Toronto that was quite serious. I can't remember what it was, but it was a very serious thing. And I knew I was going to have to answer questions about it. I needed a briefing note.
Right.
And I had to go borrow somebody's BlackBerry to get a briefing note so I could answer factually. And so at that moment, I got a BlackBerry. Now, the damn things are addictive as hell.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be saying these things. They're quite addictive.
They're quite addictive.
And so
such language from the former mayor.
I got used to using it all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every so often, like if I was going between events, I'd have a few minutes. So they suggested Twitter. I had the time to do it myself. Facebook was run by my staff because I couldn't manage it. And somebody early on when I was using Twitter said, no, you're using it all wrong. You should be having a conversation. And it clicked because that's what politics is like. You go to the coffee shop, you go to the pub, you go to the TFC games, wherever, and you have conversations with people. And if you're smart, you listen to them. Now, at the end of this long monologue, I shouldn't be saying, if you're smart, you listen to people. Somebody's yelling right now, then shut up, Miller. But that's like a good politician does that. And Twitter, to me, was invaluable because I could actually get a sense of the pulse of where people were and what they were thinking about and, you know, how they'd react to things I said. Plus, it was fun. Sometimes, you know. I've told people off a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And, well.
Way to go, Todd.
Hey, yeah. I've been on the brunt.
Yeah.
I got the short end of that stick at one point.
Yeah, I think I was polite with you.
You were. It was a very civil exchange. It was very fun. I hope I can capture all the text out of it. But I love picturing you at this mayor's conference without any sort of tether to this issue. Hey, Windsor, give me your phone right here now.
Well, it was something like a flood or a serious shooting in a bad place, something where I would have to answer complex questions. And perhaps unlike some other elected officials, I prefer to do it with the facts at hand.
Lewis Cannon.
I found them helpful.
I love that you don't want to talk about it, but you're talking about it. I love it.
There's lots of elected officials
that do that. Really big picture.
There's a hippo in the room, folks, and he won't actually come on this show. But that's the, like, over your tenure, because I was doing the research as you do on the 7 years. It seemed way shorter than that. Like, you were 7 years in charge of the city. And a lot of stuff happened over the course, and you really said it's when it was in black and white. There is succeeded Mel Lastman, succeeded by Rob Ford, and you look at that and go, "That's quite the sandwich." that's the transition. You must have what was your thinking when you first got elected in? Mel Lastman's on the way out. The listener knows very clearly how I feel about that. But what was that transition like for you? Like when you came in, just went. Did it feel like a fresh start to you for the city?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people forget what it was like at the time.
I don't either.
And, you know, there were quite serious scandals. And I'm not talking about councillors renting costumes for Easter parties. Like very serious corruption scandals. And the public inquiry was still going on during the first 2 years I was mayor. And there was also a sense that there was no direction for the city. And it's the city government can set a really important positive direction if it chooses to. And in a city like Toronto, it matters a lot, I think, because I thought at the time we were taking a lot for granted. We were taking public services for granted. We were taking our economic prosperity for granted. We were taking the fact that we were a safe city for granted. We were taking the fact for granted that we had great parks and a clean environment. And we took most of all for granted the fact that we were a society that valued social justice, which was relatively equal. And all those things are freeing. All of them, and they certainly were in 2003. And it felt to me like there was a real spirit that I reflected, but it wasn't because of me. Somebody like me got elected. Well, me.
But about as like you as possible.
Yeah, very much like me.
Who of the David Miller-esque people could we get?
How about David Miller?
I'm not busy.
That's a fair place to start. But people really wanted, you know, a progressive, positive face and to start addressing those kinds of issues. Some of them more than others. But I felt there was this real sense in the city at the time. They wanted a positive step forward. And it was incredibly exciting. If you go back and, you know, there was a documentary of my campaign. And if you look at the last part of the, when it was announced that I'd won and see the people, I mean, the excitement was just palpable. And it wasn't sort of a negative, you know, we're going to get rid of this, that, and the other. It's about we're going to build a city together.
It was because you're right when you said it. There was a lot of taking for granted, but this was the thing that you steered us out of, where it was all reactive. There was no forward motivation. There was just like, it was all just, oh, we got to stop this. Oh, we got to stop that. And by the way, buy more blenders and fridges. Like that's where we were. And then you sort of came in with plans and ideas and some were fantastic. Some, you know, some people really liked, some didn't. But there were plans. Like it just, you got the sense of, well, something's happening. Like, well, you know, you can figure it out, but just do something.
You know, one thing I learned, it took a while, but it really got reinforced to me that the way our municipal political system set up, it actually doesn't work unless the mayor has a really strong positive agenda and is pushing those plans. And not all of them will get through. And a lot of them might get modified because council does represent people and should speak up. But unless somebody's got a clear direction, the system doesn't work. It's got 44 people, 44 political parties. You know, they're susceptible to whatever the daily issue is. And you don't get that longer run perspective unless it comes from the mayor.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes the mayor won't necessarily get his or her way, but without pushing, nothing goes anywhere. You just go in circles. And I think people were feeling that. And that's why they elected somebody who had a really strong agenda, which I did.
Yep. And now we're back to reaction again.
Well, as I said in the preliminary discussions,
Yes, I know.
I won't be in a position to comment on current City Hall politics, politics, or...
Some of these will just be my editorial. You know, you'll just see a little asterisk, and that will just be my little thought bubble. If this was pop-up video, that would be the text that I had in there. Just like, blink, like that. What would you say is, like, as you look back at that 7 years, what was the thing you just went, damn, I did that, and that was awesome? Outside of opening up your Twitter account, we all agree that's a really good thing.
That wasn't exactly
watershed
my first
moment
thought.
For Toronto.
Yes,
you know, political advisors are hilarious because they get very nervous about things like that. Right? They want to make sure whatever you do is filtered through a common sense kind of thing. So me being on my own with Twitter was considered radical and dangerous, and that's why, quite seriously, that's why you end up with most politicians just send out announcements.
Yep.
It was like being naughty for me or mischievous to do my own thing. I every day I woke up and I thought it's a great day to be the mayor. And there were so many things from little ones to big ones that I can't say there was one great moment. I mean, I signed agreements with Paul Martin when he was prime minister on behalf of Toronto, everywhere else in the country. Signed agreements through their municipal organization.
Right.
We signed one directly with the national government. And to sit there with the prime minister doing that, and he was very complimentary in his remarks, you know, those on a personal basis, those feel really good. I think my favorite moments, though, were the smaller ones. You know, I mean, the big ones, I'm very lucky. I've met President Clinton a number of times. I've met President Obama, David Cameron, President Lee of Korea. You know, you go down through all these amazing experiences.
No George Bush, eh?
I just... wasn't lucky enough to meet
lucky,
President
eh?
Bush.
That's the adjective you'd use there.
I mean, he did call, but, you know.
Who is it? It's George Bush. Let it go to mail. Yeah, let it go to voicemail.
Right to voicemail. my favorite moments were the ones that were intensely local. You know, I did a lot of work, for example, with women whose sons had been murdered and who would support each other. And when some tragedy happened, would go to the funeral or the visitation, and just to be able to be there with them and support people, incredibly moving. I mean, can you imagine losing your only child in some cases, and then having the strength to go out and help somebody else? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And moments with young people, when we're working particularly in some of the lower income neighborhoods to help open doors for young people. Like there's a guy working on Bay Street right now, at a Bay Street law firm, who's their IT guy, who benefited from a program I helped set up. I don't claim credit for the program, although I don't think it would have happened if I wasn't mayor, but I didn't do the actual work. I helped. But he was in Lawrence Heights. He walks by the gym and he says, "What's going on in there?" And he said, "Well, something about jobs," his friend says. "Well, let's go in and check it out."
Something about jobs.
and he's now, and they're paying for him to go back to school.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's 21, trying to make a living in music, but basically not making any money, otherwise unemployed. He's got two kids with his girlfriend. And now, to that, now 4 years later, he's got a career on Bay Street, and a whole bunch of other friends of his can now think, hey, you know what? maybe those doors will open for me too.
Yeah.
Those kinds of moments for me were the ones that I prize and prized. And that's probably the part I miss now that I'm not mayor, because I don't get to see those tremendous success stories of people overcoming some odds and succeeding because of good government policy.
You've been watching The Killing?
No.
No? AMC show. It's fantastic. The B story is the mayoral elections in Seattle. One of the guys has a social program. I would sue them if I were you. They've obviously lifted a page.
Hey, yes. So royalties.
There you go.
Royalties.
That's what I'm saying here.
Okay, now
that's
I'm in the private sector. Yes. I can claim royalties and things.
You can't do that when you're mayor. You look like a jerk.
Yes.
All right. Well, the former mayor's going to check his in with his lawyer, and we're going to take a break. Coming back, talking more about crackpots on Twitter.
All right.
Hi, I'm David Pride, and you're listening to Comedy Above the Pub, where I've just had a glass of water. It's a hell of a pub.
Hey there, folks. We're back. It's Todd with Ian and Mayor David Miller. It's good to have you back, sir. We're talking about your accomplishments in the previous segment.
I don't think we have enough time on this show. I'm just going to focus on my accomplishments. that would be 3 or 4 episodes at least, and that's only the first year.
I know. So many.
This is why I wanted to get into your tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
Highlights in crack pottery. Anyone that stands out, aside from our illustrious host here?
Obviously, I'm top of that list.
Well, I'm not going to go to TVA. That would just be so unfair, because it would look like I prepared.
And exactly. Easy. We actually have a tweet the guest question on this very subject.
Wow.
Someone tweeted in.
That worked out well.
It worked out.
Prior planning.
Exactly. Someone missed dress rehearsal.
That was the one time we were in sync.
Yes. The question being asked, and I'll paraphrase this. Yes. And this is actually, it's current politics, but not local. Certainly, which is kind of cool. It says McCormcorp, McCormcorp.
Catherine McCormick. Local Canadian comic.
Yes.
I don't know why I added Canadian.
She says, when you tweeted back at me that one time, did you ever consider sending me a private pic, shall we say? And then she hashtags it with disappointment.
I did get that tweet, and I immediately responded no.
Yeah.
There's no other answer you can give, because if I'd said something funny, mm-hmm. like, you know, I had my pants on at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I'm not a comic. Yeah. I'm an elected official, recovering elected official. There's no way. Whatever you said that was funny could be misinterpreted.
Oh, for sure.
To the entire world, now that I know that you can Google old tweets, I thought they were gone time.
Yeah, there's no expiry date.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. Like, I picture you, because this is just you being fresh and very alive on that. I just picture Ipswich Town making it to the FA Cup, you 5 pints of Carlsberg in, and just start lighting it up.
Oh, you've met me before, haven't you?
Oh, we've had footy conversations as well, sir.
So there was a guy once on Twitter who got all upset about the tax increases at the City of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that baffles me about this issue is that people in Toronto actually know people in the 905. You know, it's not as if they're in Sweden. And they don't have the opportunity to discuss issues like property taxes. Mm-hmm. And Toronto's residential property taxes are the lowest in the GTA, and I believe the lowest in Ontario. Yet we have the highest level of services, because we have to pay for subway and streetcars, which are fantastic asset, but they cost money. And some guy was ragging me about his tax increase, which was, I think, $15.95. And so,
how do you sleep at night?
Well, exactly.
You monster.
So I wrote back.
A cup
back
of cocoa
said,
on the nightstand.
I said, hey, dude, we've got the lowest taxes in the province. Duh.
Did you call him dude?
Yes. I called him dude and I said, duh. I didn't get another response from him.
I bet not. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Toronto Star lights up.
Actually, they did. Somebody, I think the Globe.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they did an article early on how elected officials were using Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So they ran some stuff about me and included that in there, I'm fairly sure.
But that's the thing. Like, that is exactly – that is what I expect from my politicians that would be using this as a device. Because, one, you're right. It is a conversation. And, two, you're human beings, right? Like, to sit back behind a wall. Like, admittedly, I don't want, Obama's Twitter feed lighting up with, hey, look at what the dog just did. Like, right. You know, I don't need any of those pictures or anything like that. That's a little too cute and too personal. But it does, like, you know, when you're sending in live tweets from TFC matches, when you're, you know, finding a good pub you like or whatever it is, that's a fun thing for me.
So I mean, some of that was a little bit deliberate. I want people to know I was actually a person. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't been born and then the next day became the mayor of Toronto from the progressive side. But I also think it's a mistake. Really good elected officials remain people because it is about mm-hmm. people, and they remain people that if you're having a coffee with, even if you disagree with them, you know, you'd want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And Twitter, if you use it the right way, allows you to do that with all sorts of people that you'd never have the chance to mm-hmm. meet normally. So I think it's fantastic. And I think it is a bit sad. Some politicians get so drawn into the day-to-day things of what you do at City Hall or the province or nationally that they kind of forget who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, it's one of the reasons that compelled me to step aside. I didn't want to become like that. I wanted to remain, you know, a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever that means.
So there's that aspect of it.
So, yes,
there's sort of the other.
I'm getting very nervous each time you pick up your iPhone and look.
It's the same. It's the same question
we do. We put it out to the Twitterverse to tweet our guest.
That's right. You can send that into the podcast Twitter account, which is CATP Podcast. That's right, folks. Cappy. Now, the second part of her question, which was, which I'm glad you said no to, which was, have you ever thought of sending a boner pic?
It's the least I could do, really.
Yeah. To the listener, because
I didn't block her. I just said no.
No, yeah. That's fine. It was a question asked.
Thank you for your interest, but no.
My wife loves me very much.
Exactly the kind of thing I couldn't say, by the way. Thank you for your interest. That would be rather misconstrued.
Well, okay, yeah, I guess that's a little too risque. I was thinking it could just be funny and stuff like that, but no, I can see where you're going.
No,
with that.
It couldn't.
But to the listener who, just to provide context of when this was delivered, this is a matter of days after, who was it, Wiener in the States?
You know, his name is actually pronounced Viner. Weiner.
Is it Wiener?
Wiener. Okay. Yeah. But
both are appropriate now.
In text, it looks like Wiener. So we'll go with Wiener. It's a little more polite. Got caught doing the very thing that she describes, which is sending nasty pics. Like, what's your take on that, being in public office yourself? Like, are you not worried, not for yourself, but like when you see other, the counselors or stuff like that, or administrative people, like there is that concern that, oh, what happens if? Like, what's your take on elected officials doing
this?
Well,
it's the biggest challenge government has as a whole, because there's always what happens if. So mm-hmm. let's create 7,000 rules to prevent if.
Right.
Right. And some point in time, I think you have to say, you know what? We could have 7,000 rules.
Yeah.
Or we could have common sense mm-hmm. with a few idiots screwing up.
Right.
And I'd rather have the common sense and not the 7,000 rules, because mm-hmm. becomes impossible to comply with.
You can't stop if. If is coming through, no matter how many rules you get.
It is. It'll just find a different way through, right?
It'll tunnel under the wall.
Hey, look at this. Rob Ford just updated his, oh my God. Okay. That's fine. One of the things, actually, that I was really happy about, speaking of your Twitter feed and stuff,
I think you'd prepared that line beforehand.
Absolutely not. It's all impromptu. It's all jazzy. And I'm
impromptu just, isn't even impromptu.
Dead serious about that. One of the accomplishments, and I don't know how much sway or pull that you had in this, was bringing TFC into this town. How much involvement did you have in that? Because the one thing that I enjoy about you is that you were involved in this. And it's like, finally something. Because I've been watching MLS for years. I was watching New England. I've been down on work in that area for like a year and a half, 2 years. So I would just go to the matches whenever I could. So I knew the style of football that we're about to get ourselves into. But it's good to have it here locally.
It's not the Rangers.
Absolutely not.
It's not even Ipswich Town, but I actually, and you watch out for Ipswich next year. I actually was surprised, pleasantly surprised at the quality of the play. It was better than I expected it. The refereeing's abysmal.
Oh, yeah.
Although since Aaron Vinter had his rant a few games ago, all the bad calls have gone our way.
Right.
Right. They went against us for 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I think because he's so respected in the soccer world, when he said, this is ridiculous refereeing, it had an impact. I may be wrong,
right?
But maybe it's just the law of averages. This was a priority for me, and it's a long story, and I won't bore people with it. But the gist of it is,
you can bore them, you will not bore me.
Yeah, exactly. I won't bore me either. I love telling the same stories over and over again. My, you know, poor people who work.
It all started with franchise MLS form 17D.
Well, you've got to see the appendix. No, it started with the federal government,
right,
who somehow got it in their heads that they could work with the Canadian Soccer Association to build a stadium in Toronto without speaking to the city.
Sure.
Now, wouldn't you think, oh, yeah.
Were they just going to helicopter in one night?
Just drop it there without, you know, zoning approval.
Like, they just start knocking down buildings. We got to put the field here. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So we got a call. Said, would the mayor like to come to a press conference tomorrow about the new soccer stadium and getting the trying to get the under-20 World Cup, and the stadium has to be built in order to get the World Cup with the Canadian Soccer Association, the federal government. And of course, you know, I'm from England originally. People may not know this, but, you know, I had a soccer ball before I could walk. Mm-hmm. I played through university level. Then I stuck to rugby because I was better at it, frankly.
And a gentleman. Gentleman, yes, playing a barbarian sport as opposed to a barbarian playing a gentleman sport.
And I got to tell you, the rugby skills are so useful in politics.
You see, okay, so this
you throw
is
a nice elbow, do you?
Well, no, it's not the elbow. It's being able to step on somebody when they're lying in the ground and really hurt them without anybody seeing.
Ah,
right.
That's a very important skill in rugby.
Counselors? Oh, God, he's
I
calling
a scrum. I met a guy like you, which led to ankle surgery on my part, so thank you.
Sorry about that.
I love picturing you roughhousing in quarters. That would be good.
I loved rugby. Yeah? I loved it. And I my first... 15 years I was a center in a standoff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which, if you don't know, rugby is the person, the standoff's like the quarterback and, you know, moves all the play and has to be a good kicker and a good passer and handsome and, you know, never gets hit and all these talented. And then I became a second row. So I'm just giving the briefing for them. I know you guys understand rugby. But when I became a second row, that's the guy that I came out to. I hurt my knee, so I lost a bit of my speed. And I came out, and the captain said, we're going to put you in at second row. And I said, okay, what do I do? And he said, push. And I said, okay, what else? And he said, push.
Push.
And he said, then you sprint to the other side of the field and push.
And push.
And it was an incredible transition from being like the guy runs everything to the guy runs nothing.
Right.
So I'm sort of going through that at the moment.
See, okay, so this is what we have to do. The next
don't
either
tell him what to do.
The next either the invitation. I am extending the invite. The next time there's a World Cup or a Six Nations that's going on, you pick the pub, you pick the match. Obviously, England will probably showcase. We'll watch it because this is what I need to happen. I need someone to explain certain aspects of this game because there are things where I watch it and I go, oh, I get it, and then the referee blows a whistle and go, okay, I don't get it. I don't get it. Since suddenly there's a scrum and then they're picking up a guy to catch a ball and
so
it's just
there's a big secret. They've made the rules, the laws.
There's not rules
of rugby.
No.
They made them so complicated nowadays. The players don't even understand them, so they cannot fight the ref. Do you notice how in rugby they never argue?
No,
they all just retreat.
They don't even know if they're playing league or union at this point. What do the signs say outside?
They have no idea of any of the rules. So when the ref blows his whistle, they run back the 10 yards they have to and just play.
Right,
which is a good principle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like watching the refereeing at TFC. They're except it's the other way around. The ref has no idea of the rules.
You're really chewing on that, aren't you?
Oh, they drive me crazy. And I'm way up in section 225, so you can see the play develop.
Right.
And you have a much better view of what's happening than the ref does.
Yeah.
And so you go crazy.
And certainly, you know, even the plays where he's right there, of course you still do. How many times do you yell the referee's a wanker? Many?
No, no.
Come on.
He would really never use language like that.
But he would certainly tweet it. Now.
I might.
You three Carlsbergs in, that's going to happen. What is it about the experience that you enjoy most? Like, I know my own. Have you experienced the South Stand? That's where, like, all the screamers are and all the singing
stuff.
It is great. I mean,
it's fun. People don't take the soccer that seriously. They're passionate about the club, and they're annoyed at some things right now, and I don't blame them. But it's just great. I mean, people right from the beginning have said we're making a commitment to this team, and they've put their heart and soul into it. There's always people at the away games. You know, the first game this year at Vancouver was on March break, so I went out with my son.
Nice.
And we spent a week out there and went to the TFC game, then flew home the next day. There were about 150 people in red, all in the same area, and it was great. Unfortunately, all of the Vancouver fans knew who I was.
Right.
So when they went up, You know, I think they're up 4-1, and then we got a late goal to make it 4-2.
Right.
Which wasn't even respectable. We were awful. But they were taunting us.
Right.
Right. The whole cheers, all of it came to this 22,000 people versus 150. But I thought it was great. 150 fans out in Vancouver for, you know, all the way across the country for an away game. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah.
The day that I picked up Gold TV so I could watch at home now was the 6-2 game. And I remember I tweeted this as like, the guy at Rogers said I could cancel this service whenever I wanted. So end of the first half then. That's how that's going to play out.
That was brutal.
Now, here's the thing too. MLSE being in charge of this also controls the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is another awful franchise. What is it
Settle
about that?
Settle down there, Senators boy.
I have no problems with that. They're absolutely horrible this year, but I don't mind saying that. But here's the thing. As a Sens fan, I get the feeling that when they say rebuild, it probably will happen. I take it you're a Leafs fan as well.
Of course.
Yes.
Although once upon a time, I was a Boston Bruins fan.
So, I was going to get
you
into
must
this.
Be for you, most of my life.
You must be giggling into your shirt just a little bit. Now, how did this Boston love happen?
I immigrated to Canada from England. Love sports.
Came over on the Mayflower? Is that how this happened?
Not quite that long ago, but I did come over on a boat.
Okay.
The Sylvania, which was a Cunard Line boat and ship. We landed in Montreal. But the reason I'm mentioning that is because I was telling this story while I was mayor, and somebody came up to me and said, what date did you land? And I said, August 8th, 1967. And she said, I was on that boat.
Really?
Which I thought was fairly remarkable.
Get the ledger. Get the ledger.
Exactly. Why? What cabin? So I have no idea where I was going.
Yes,
with
Boston love. How do you do that?
So I'm a kid. Something in me has always liked underdogs, and everybody in Ottawa were Habs fans back then. And the first hockey game I ever saw on TV, black and white, you know, rolling up and down, was Boston-Montreal, and Boston lost, I think, 7-1.
Yep.
And I immediately started cheering for the Bruins, and it was, you know, just before they got really good. Right. So Ori. Johnny Pie McKenzie, I've got his sweater, number 19. Busick, Stansfield, you know, the great, great teams of the Bruins in the late 60s and early 70s.
Right.
So I'm in Montreal the other day.
Okay. As you do.
As I do. You know, I do.
We just got back ahead of you. We left nowhere. Okay, yeah.
So I went for dinner at a restaurant, and I was by myself. So I went up to the bar. It was when the game was on the other night, the 8-1 game. And the bartender, they're really following the Bruins in Montreal, I guess, because there's such history, right? And I said, oh, I've been a Bruins fan for a long time. And he said, oh, yeah, what do you think of 1979? And I said, that was never a penalty.
Nice.
But Don Cherry shouldn't have done it anyway, but it was never a penalty. You can't call a penalty with 2 minutes left in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup semifinals for too many men on the ice. You just can't. And then I said, and as a Bruins fan, we knew immediately who would score. And he said, yep. And he did, Guy Lafleur. And I said, yeah, but who scored in overtime? And he said, Yvon Lambert. And then he turns to me and says, who passed him the puck? I thought, isn't this incredible? Like 32 years later, I'm having this chat with the bartender who knows every play in this game that's etched in every Bruins fan's memory.
Who is the water boy?
Exactly.
I picture you two pacing back and forth, the sleeves rolling up and just like thinking and pacing and like, you know, okay, who announced the goal in French at CFRB? It's like, okay, what?
But that's where it was going, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, as a former Bruins fan, you don't have much of a comeback because they had that brief period of glory that's been kind of bleak.
Right.
Right? And the Habs, you know,
they had a few moments here and there.
Here and there, you know, a bit. I mean, the refs were always on their side. But
oh, don't get me started.
What? When did this become hockey chat with you? When was I going to learn this?
Ever since '93.
Is that right?
Oh, league conspiracy keeps Toronto out of the Stanley Cup final.
Wow.
It was the worst.
That okay.
There were some bad calls in that series. Yeah. I was cheering hugely.
And please believe Carey Fraser alone.
No, they no, warranted.
It's been almost 20 years.
Don't care. Hate him. He was the hair itself was a helmet. The guy needed to go. No loss.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, you heard me.
I was being, you know, over
the top.
Oh,
is he here? No, he's not. We're not even trying to get him on the show. Let's take a quick break.
And then we'll get his thoughts on the NBA finals.
Yes, let's do that. What do you
know? You won't.
Magic. obviously we'll talk about what you're doing now. Let's we'll get into that right after this.
I'm Chef Brad Long and you're listening to Comedy Above the Pub. All right, hope it's comedy.
So I'm not as hard on MLSE as some others, although mm-hmm. why they don't spend their money. Like, why can't they bring in somebody?
It's the old Ballard mentality of people are going to come to it. They're going to pay for it. I'm selling out every game. It doesn't matter.
I don't know about that. They've been spending the money. They've just been spending it poorly. And they've been always trying to quick fix it to
right.
make it something happen.
You mean the Leafs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now look at, and to a lesser extent, I would say TFC. At least I think they've got the management in place right now, but now they've got to start doing some purse strings.
But they've got to bring in, you know, if Henry and Beckham can come to the league, mm-hmm. we can afford somebody of that caliber.
Right.
Like Drogba. What's going to happen to Drogba? I don't know. Somebody like that.
Yeah.
I could have nothing to add.
You could do any of that. I mean, like, you know, a latter-day Rooney, once he gets kind of worn down, he would totally drive people into here.
Oh, God.
Or one of the take a look at someone like Totti, you know? We're so close to Little Italy, this place would be mobbed with Totti fans.
Well, and when we went to New York, it would be full and, right?
Yep. So. That'd be fantastic. God, get Zidane. Yank him out of retirement.
I'd love to have Zidane. Bloody great.
How's your beer? Do you want another?
I'm fine. I've only got to about 620. Is that okay?
That's perfect. That will take us exactly where we need to be.
Okay, great.
Done. Brilliant.
And we'll, you know, ask about comedy at some point, too.
I'm saying. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
I've done comedy.
Really?
Yeah, lots. I've always been a straight man, but I did Monkey Toast and Second City. And
that's right. Let's start this right now. Cold open right there. as the mayor frantically goes for his headphones.
Whoops, son. I thought we were just talking.
Oh, yeah. No. We're good to go.
We call those outtakes.
Yes. We'll throw those at the end. That'll be fun.
I call those getting unelected.
Yeah. the mayor's here. So, yeah, that is true. You've done, you have done Monkey Toast. You did a Sunday Night Live, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
How do you find those?
I mean, loved it.
Yeah,
I did some Second City too, mm-hmm. and it. I mean, I've got a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
As mayor, it was sort of hard to express. I mean, certain things you deal with are really serious, so you mm-hmm. can't come up to a press conference and, you know.
Why is he wearing that clown
right.
nose?
Yeah,
yeah. I love picturing you afterwards going, "Why did I open with new stuff? Why?
Yeah.
Oh, I really did not handle that heckling reporter well. Oh.
I bombed today, and it was the Toronto Sun mm-hmm. again. So the comedy I grew up with is Monty Python and Beyond the Fringe, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. And in high school, we actually did a lot of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore skits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like I could have been a judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have been a judge.
Right.
Except for the Latin. So I became a coal miner instead.
Yeah.
The judging exams were very rigorous. Very rigorous indeed. The mining exams were not so rigorous. There was only one question. What is your name? And I got 75% on that. Et cetera.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing because I have a
Well, you've now copyright accent, infringed us right now.
Yeah. So. Yes. Now, credit to Beyond the Fringe, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
Performance by Dudley Moore, 1964, mm-hmm. I believe, live at. So that, but that's what always tickled my funny bone, mm-hmm. that kind of really offbeat mm-hmm. English humor. And so, you know, having the opportunity to appear on stage. Now, I'm mostly the straight guy, right? You've mm-hmm. got the mayor there.
Right.
But it was really, really fun. And I briefly, when I was thinking about what to do post-mayor, I thought, well, maybe I should be a comic. And my first line is, I used to be the mayor, mm-hmm. but I quit. I don't have anything. That's not even funny. And I don't have anything after that. Yeah. So, you know, I went past that and went back to law.
We could really use a punch-up guy on that. Yeah. Maybe open with a knock-knock. Maybe that's the sort of thing
you could do a ventriloquist act.
Exactly.
With the current mayor at the puppet. No comment.
Well, I said I would not comment on current political issues.
And you'd need a bigger hand. Now.
Wow. Jesus.
Let's talk about what you are doing. Right now.
So I'm doing a bunch of stuff, but it's all about the environment and mm-hmm. the economy. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, there's this lie perpetrated by people who benefit from pollution mm-hmm. that you can't do the right thing for the environment without costing people jobs. It's complete nonsense. And in cities around the world, there are examples of amazing things happening mm-hmm. that are good for the environment, that create lots of jobs and lots of work. And so you get a, you know, win.
Right.
And
we won't stand for that around these parts.
No, you can't have a win-win or even a win.
No. We're going to take the forests, the rabbits, and burn them all.
Exactly.
And then
next year, what are people going to do?
Right.
Right. It's great this year mm-hmm. when you're chopping down the trees, sure. but next year when there's no trees. So I'm doing some work with the World Bank and the OECD and some other people sort of consulting, counsel to a law firm, which is a fancy word for being an advisor.
Mm-hmm. Consultant rates. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
There we are. So that's all really fun. And the advisory role with the law firm is about sustainability issues mm-hmm. internationally. So it all kind of fits together. Mm-hmm. And I've had some great gigs. I got invited to speak in Scotland, and I gave several speeches, one in mm-hmm. Glasgow. I did not get to see the Rangers play, but
Some
Thistle. Either I didn't get to see Thistle.
That's true.
Or Celtic.
Well, you didn't miss anything there.
But I did. The last speech I gave was in St. Andrews.
Oh, very nice.
And I do like to play golf. Mm-hmm. And
did you shoot around?
I three. Two okay. on the old course and one on the new. And I did them all by just walking up to the starter. And they're so polite. I walked mm-hmm. up to the starter and I said, would it be possible to play today? And I gave him my handicap certificate. And the concierge at the hotel had said, go around 9 and he'll probably get you off around 2 because mm-hmm. there's some gaps in the afternoon.
Right.
And so I was intending to go, you know, do some work. And the guy said, well, can you have a seat for a few minutes? And I said, sure. And he came 30 seconds later and said, Mr. Miller, would it be convenient to tee off now? Like, would it be convenient it to be play convenient? At the home of golf? Oh, no, that wouldn't be convenient no. at all. What are you doing? So I said,
how dare you, sir?
Yes, how dare you insult yes. me?
Would you like some unicorn crackers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was, I really had fun. It was a good mm-hmm. time. But so all that stuff sort of coming together. And one of the things I want to make sure I do is have continue a public presence, not as an elected official, mm-hmm. but telling the stories of what's happening in cities that bring the environment and jobs together.
Right.
Because people need to know those. So when somebody who says, no, we got to burn coal because it's cheap and we can't afford wind or solar, mm-hmm. then they can actually say, you know what, coal for $1 billion worth of investment, a coal-fired plant, it creates about 800 jobs. If you do that investment in wind, it creates about 3,000. If you do it in solar, it creates even more. Right. Like people need to have those figures at their fingertips. They need to know it and believe it. Mm-hmm. And we need some people who are public figures who can tell those stories. Al Gore did a fantastic job showing us the problem. Mm-hmm. I want to show the solutions to
right.
people.
Now, have you talked with Al Gore and gotten sort of his feedback and sort of his viewpoints as well? Or
I did while I was mayor. I haven't post mayor, but I thought about sending him a tweet saying, mm-hmm. Do you want to come? Do you want to come on my radio show?
Yeah. My God, he's stealing ideas left, right, and center.
Hey. First off, do you have a copyright on that?
I think there's a C at the bottom.
Gets a royalty for every podcast
yes.
that goes on in the interwebs.
That's it. I make zeros and zeros of dollars on this. So when you're engaging these things and you're doing this, how are you keeping up to date with like what the what new cities are coming on board and that sort of thing? Like, are you actively going out and visiting these places more and more, or how's that going?
A little bit. The biggest way I keep current is I used to chair this international organization called the C40, very loosely, the 40 largest cities in the world.
Right.
So Jakarta.
What are their riot police like?
They're pretty serious.
Good. Okay. All right.
Far more. I won't get into that either. But pretty serious. Anyway, Jakarta, Johannesburg, New York, Los Angeles, Toronto, those mm-hmm. kind of cities. And I've stayed engaged with them. Mayor Bloomberg's the chair now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just came back from there. They have a conference every 2 years and then lots of events in between. And that's a very good funnel for all the latest ideas, because mostly there's lots of innovations that happen in smaller cities, but all of it seems to reach the bigger cities. And it happens to be in cities where the innovations are happening, not always at the national government level, certainly not in our country. There's very little happening nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows me to keep current because I've got those contacts and I stay up with them.
Right. Who would you say out there right now is a city that we should be watching internationally that says like, oh, they get it?
Well, there's differences between the elected officials and the people.
Okay.
Like the people in Toronto really get environmental issues
mm-hmm.
Really, really well. New York City, Mayor Bloomberg's mm-hmm. quite good.
Mm-hmm.
Copenhagen's the best.
I was gonna guess it was somewhere like in the Slavic region.
Yeah, I was gonna say Seattle. So.
Yeah,
no, Seattle's very good.
Yeah,
very good. The previous mayor was excellent. I don't mm-hmm. know the new one as well, but the previous mayor, when George Bush wouldn't sign Kyoto, He went out and got something like 3,000 cities to sign Kyoto. Mm-hmm. And the power of cities is interesting because the organization, the C40, has about 600 million people are in those city regions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's twice as big as the United States. Mm-hmm. So it can have a really big impact. But Copenhagen's amazing because they're strategic about it. And they're a small country and a small city, right? But 30 years ago, the first oil crisis, 35 years ago, they said, we don't want to depend on oil. And they got completely off oil in their power generation. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they went to coal. Whoops. But they didn't want to be on oil because they didn't want to be beholden to the Middle East, right?
Right.
So they went to coal, which they could control. And then, you know, 15 years ago, they realized that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all these incredible things. They got district energy and wind. But they do it all as an industrial strategy to create jobs, not just as an energy or environmental strategy. Right. That's why they're the leader. Mm-hmm. And they're very smart about it. And they put people to work in decent wage-earning jobs and clean up the environment at the same time.
I noticed that when you're touring, like, certainly the middle countries, kind of like Denmark and Holland, that sort of thing. And then when you go up into, I haven't been to the Scandinavian countries as much, if at all, that I'm thinking, but
podcast
the perception is
road
there.
Trip.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. Tell me I would not love to go to Copenhagen. Yeah. It's portable. Just unplug. Okay. Well, we'd have to get those things with the fitting, you know, cause they've got different power.
I got one of those.
Do you?
Yeah. I'll lend it to you for the podcast. However, and I'll arrange something with the mayor's office there.
Oh, done.
Can't guarantee the mayor.
Okay.
He might come, but I can certainly guarantee
somebody.
Can we get
Skippy the intern?
Okay.
Oh, you can at least Skippy's boss.
Yeah.
I love that you call him Skippy. This is Mayor Skippy from Copenhagen. That's how he gets it. Yes, I have own brand of peanut butter.
I was going to say.
The mayor is Mayor Jensen.
Mayor Jensen. Okay.
I'm not a complete jackass, Todd. We did that to the professional.
Yes, thank you very much.
That was a real opening. No, I wouldn't call you a complete jackass either. But I just, once you put the idea out there, it can rebound. You
know? Oh, I'm looking forward to that tweet. That one will be coming.
Now we're feuding with Denmark. Good job, Todd.
And they can lie. I was going to tell them to listen to this.
Right.
This is Congo all over again.
We have a long list of countries that we have a no-fly zone over. That's fine. But not China. I don't know how we don't offend them, but we don't.
We do have a lot of listeners there.
Yeah.
Or they're surveilling us.
I think so.
Well, they want to know what's going on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Apparently, they like coal. That's what they're going to get from this one.
Actually, you know what? It's quite amazing. I mean, China is building all those coal-fired plants, but they've also some certain things have clicked. Mm-hmm. And they've got cities that they're now trying to build ecologically sustainably. And last year, we had a workshop, the C40 in Hong Kong, and they sent 6 mayors.
Yep.
To come, and they spoke openly about their environmental challenges. Mm-hmm. And the Hong Kong people said, you never would have heard mainland Chinese mayors speaking openly about these kind of things even a year earlier. So something's clicked. Yeah. I'm guessing people are a bit tired of breathing polluted air, and they're saying, hey.
Yeah. That or someone looked out the window or at a map and went, you know, we got islands and coastline. Maybe we should start taking a look at this.
Yes. Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what happened to Hong Kong?
Whoopsie doodle.
Yeah, it's been fogged for 5 years.
Right.
Now.
That's right.
So we took a business mission to Chongqing. It's Toronto's sister city. It's been so for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Kyle Ray was the head of economic development at the time. He came, a whole lot of businesses, people like Arup, who's an engineering company, has a big presence in Toronto, but also has significant infrastructure it's building in China. They built 2 of the venues for the Olympics.
Sure.
The pool, and I think the main stadium. Anyway, so Kyle loves to take photographs. So there's a famous building in Beijing called the CCTV Tower. It's sort of like an H kind of thing. Very unusual building. We're at the meeting at Arup. And we go outside, and Kyle goes to take a photo, and his camera will not take a photograph of the building because it can't distinguish the building from the air.
Wow.
When it was set on automatic. Isn't that incredible?
Wow,
it could not tell the difference between a building and air. It was I'd never seen anything like it. And that's Beijing. It's going to have huge, huge challenges.
Hong Kong, I found the same way when I was over there, but it differed by a matter of blocks. Because we would be like in one side of the city staying at a hotel, and it was just as you described, like very, that's diesel. There it is. That's nice. And then you'd literally walk to the shopping district, and it was like walking through Yorkville. in Toronto, which is like very highfalutin shops and stuff like that. Just like, oh my God, I don't taste my air anymore.
That's air shouldn't be crunchy, right?
No.
Okay.
No, not in the least.
Ideally not.
Okay.
Right. When Bill Clinton talks about that, he says, you know, when he was growing up in Arkansas, people would smell, it was pulp mill, but they'd mm-hmm. smell that and they'd say, that's the smell of money.
Right.
Right. And that's our old way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we have to fight. Because it's not the smell of money.
Right.
It's the smell of disease, mm-hmm. Of, you know.
Death.
But
you could say that of anything you sell that smells. You know, like if you're a manure plant, it's like suddenly, oh, yeah, that's the smell of money. No, it's horseshit is what that is. That's, yeah.
Yes, it is. But now horseshit's an asset.
Yes.
No, it is. Yeah, I mean, you can generate methane, gashing to all sorts of good mm-hmm. stuff. But that's a good point. Okay. Well, so I'll have to phone Bill up and say, you know, don't use that analogy anymore.
Right.
Because I've learned on Comedy Above the Pub exactly. that's a really bad analogy.
We're very, very educational here. We got.
When did that happen?
I don't know. You know
tonight,
what?
You see?
You bring in a learned guy.
Yeah, he's raising the bar.
Yeah.
I have to be a better person now. Damn it.
It's not all talking about wings and
I have to
ribs
know things about stuff.
Yes.
Way exactly. to go, Todd.
Read a book.
Oh,
read
stuff.
A book.
Stuff. It's yeah. good. Being an expert on stuff.
Yes.
A little bit of things.
Yeah, start yeah. with A, move your way to the zebra.
Well, if you don't have things or stuff, then your comedy is not going to be very good anyway.
Oh, so that's why I produce.
It's a man who's seen his act.
It's almost like I'm interviewing you.
Yep.
You've been yes. very revealing during the course of this.
This is the most we've ever heard about Ian and the least that we want to hear about him. Mayor Miller, thank you so much for coming by.
It's a pleasure, guys. You've got a great show.
And if the listeners want to follow your initiatives, where can they do that?
Yes.
So they can follow me on Twitter at I am David Miller.
Cool.
Or they can go to my website, which is under construction.
Okay.
But it does have a page, urbangreenjobs.ca.
Right on.
Urbangreenjobs.ca.
Urbangreenjobs.ca or at I am David Miller.
Yes.
You know what? I have 1,000 more Twitter followers now than I did when I was mayor.
Is that right?
What's that about?
I don't know.
Maybe
they want you back.
Maybe. Okay. You know what it is? They're looking at the new guy going, he's going to say something about him someday. This is coming. This check is in the mail.
I think I'm going to get another 500.
This is going to happen. This is going to happen.
He's unleashed and he's going to snap.
If Ipswich Town has another FA Cup run next year, he is going to get loaded somewhere and something's going to drop.
Well, except for the loaded part.
Right.
It is possible that I might have an error of judgment right. in such a celebratory moment. Yes.
Right. Exactly. I'm not even going to stipulate what that may be. Thank you again so much
Pleasure
for coming
us.
By. Let us thank you, the listener, for hanging in with us. You can follow us again to CATP Podcast. That's right, folks. Cat P. Go to the Facebook page. Go to iTunes. Drop in a review, if you would. On behalf of Ian, his honor, the Mayor Miller, and myself, where do you find your comedy? Above the Pub.
Lately, I find I rush. Sun in the sky, the spots on my face. And I must be stuck, my feet already are.
What that comes through just because it's in the air?
Just the headphones pick it up.
That has a plate in its head, essentially, and that's what's
Ted, it's
in.
The Ted Green of
right. I like to think it's Gomeshi thinking he can, you know, permeate every media, including this one, and get his fingers in.
Todd has so many feuds.
Oh, I shake my fist at the sky every day.